Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on metaphysics, spirituality, paranormal, and healing. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show with Roz, Ivory, Terri-Ann, and Melissa. Today's topic is animal communications. If you are watching this show and you have questions, don't worry if it's after the show. You can email us questions. That email address is in the discussion box of the show, and we'll be happy to answer them at any time. So, animal communications. Whenever we talk about this at the office, I think of you, Roz. I think of all of us. You probably do the most of that, maybe have the biggest focus on that. I could be wrong.
I feel like, I don't know. I just love animals. I always have. We're attracted to each other. We look at each other and we make a connection, and they talk to me a lot and I talk to them. And I think a lot of people can relate to this. I mean, over the years, I have asked so many people, you know, do you have a connection with animals? And they immediately, you know, they know exactly what I'm talking about. They understand that telepathic connection that you, and this is not limited to like domestic animals, dogs, cats, etc. I mean, horses, cows, even exotic animals, when you make eye contact with them, that is a connection. And they are so sensitive to our moods and our emotions, and they have very strong emotions. So it's highly likely that I think many, many people have this ability, but they don't realize that that's what it is, that they're actually communicating. But I know a lot of pet owners, when I, you know, when I ask them, well, do you communicate with your pet? Do they talk to you? They immediately say yes. So I think what we have to realize is that these are not what, these beings are not what science says. They're not emotionless, heartless, you know, living things. They create a family unit. If that pet is in your family, that's its family. And they are so funny. I mean, there's amazing videos on YouTube where they're actually, their mouths form words, just like they've tried to learn to really say it themselves. And I feel like they bring so much joy to our lives, and helping people when they're having an issue with a pet is difficult, you know, like the pet's having an illness or something like that. But the bottom line is it's about loving each other and just enjoying that joy of communicating. And I really believe that the vast majority of, I mean, I've always laughed and said I enjoy spending time sometimes more with animals than I do with people, because you don't have to say words. You just make that connection and you're happy together and you're hanging out. So I think it's a highly underrated issue. I think people communicate with animals far more than they think they do.
And the skills we use to do that, just by the way, is telepathy, which is reading another person or animal's thoughts, mm-hmm. and empathy, which is reading the emotions, feeling the emotions of another creature. So it's a combination of those two things that people use with this. And, you know, I think I was doing it for a long time and I had no idea. As you know, Ross knows, I'm horribly allergic to fur and feathers. And I used to have all these cats, and I would just
bury my face in their fur and sleep with them and give them kisses. And I was so sick. So I think I would do a lot more animal communications work in person if I wasn't so allergic. But for me, I do it more in readings. Like people, just like people come to us for readings and they'll want to know about themselves, their family and friends. They'll also ask about their pets a lot, you know, the health, their behavior, or in mediumship readings when pets come dancing in, you know, pounding through wee in various forms and letting their presence be known to their owners that they're in spirit form.
Yeah, we're in situations a lot of times where people specifically say, you know, can you communicate with my pet that has crossed over? Sometimes the pet, yeah, just barges in. Sometimes I'll have people sitting with me and we'll be doing their reading and I'll be going, okay, this dog is just barking incessantly. Let me see what's going on here. And I can't always see the dog. I can certainly hear the dog, but they immediately will know if I can see them and I describe them, or if I say, this is what his personality is like, they immediately know. Because owners, you know, and their animals, if they have a true loving family relationship, I mean, they bond very, very tightly.
I was going to say that a lot of times animals are so in tune with the human they live with too. So they're able to communicate. Like if you're upset or you're sad, they really know. So they'll come over and they'll sit by you or put their head on you. So they have that knowing as well.
True.
So that's so much like very young children. I can remember my daughter, you know, if I would cry, she would come in and see me crying. She'd crawl up on the bed. What's wrong, mommy? What's wrong? And, you know, I couldn't even talk to her. I didn't want to tell her the things. She'd crawl up and put her head on my shoulder. She didn't even know it was wrong, but she was there to suffer with me, boy. She was going to cry along with mom. Same thing with her dogs would do that for her. Like I witnessed that. They were my furry grandchildren for years before I had actual grandchildren. And those were her children. And if she had a bad day, she was upset, those dogs would be Peanut on one side and Olive on the other, cuddled up next to her, looking at her with these eyes like, oh, no, mama's sad, you know. It was so cute.
It is so cute.
That happened to me this week. Mine did that as well. And two of my appointments were for that I didn't, no one told me in advance, that were for communicating with furry loved ones that had passed. And another one was, and I just, you know, the people were excited. And another one was an equestrian person. And part of his messages from, you know, the divine were to go talk to the horses. They had the answer. And it is my belief, with being around a lot of horses in my life, that's one of my funnest, that's my favorite animal. I think that they are wise beyond all comparison. They know what's going on in many levels and layers. And so the horses are sometimes my favorite, even though I've never owned a horse. Like they've not been in my family, but you know, the animal communication also, like Ross said, it's just, is so much more fun than people sometimes.
I was thinking about horses this morning, thinking about today's show, and two things were coming to my mind. One about when I was a teenager living in Maryland, which is horse farm country, we had three horses and my horse was named Spunky and I would ride that horse every day. And a teenage girl in the neighborhood I was not really friends with wanted to ride my horse so bad. And he just took a dislike to her. Every time she would come near him, he would pull back. He would even rear up a little and whinny and back away from her. And I could tell he did not like her. And I said, no, I don't think it's a good idea. And my dad said, just tell her your dad said no. And so what she did was she snuck onto our property when we were gone, jumped on my horse and tried to ride him. And he ran straight over to this big pile of concrete and bucked her off right into it. I guess her parents were all upset. And my dad's like, okay, A, number one, we told her she could not ride the horse. Number two, she broke in and got the horse. So, you know, that, and it turns out what she had done was kick Spunky's sides really hard to try to get him to run, because she had seen me galloping on him and he wouldn't move for her. So, you know, he knew that she had a side that he didn't want anything to do with. And then the other thing was my good friend in Sedona, who volunteers at a horse rescue. She had said they had a problem with this little horse there, that it was suddenly very unhappy, not like itself at all. She's like, we can't figure out why. And like, so I just did distance tune into this horse, and I heard him say he doesn't like his stall. She's like, we thought it might be that. We just moved him to a new stall, and there was something about it. He just didn't like it. They moved him back to his old one. He's fine. So, you know, they'll tell us things if we listen. You know, they're letting us know they're unhappy, or that they're happy. I mean, you can sure tell when an animal's happy.
True. Very true. And I think that desire to provide comfort, you know, is a part of their intuitive, that telepathic connection, you know, where, you know, people always talk about how they're an empath. Well, a lot of animals are empaths, and, you know, you can try and say it in other ways, but the reality is, especially our dogs and cats, but also, you know, like other animals, I mean, they feel, it's really funny how they will feel your emotion and come right up to you. So it's really a very unique, I think, relationship that humans and animals have. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people refuse to acknowledge this. And it's, you know, it's heartbreaking to see an animal that for whatever reason has had to be rehomed, and they're not adjusting to that well. You know, they have fear, they have abandonment issues. People who acknowledge the emotions that animals feel, you can tell when they're feeling abandoned. Like Terry Ann's dog is so sensitive. He is just the most sensitive little soul. And he came to live with her by circumstances that we don't really know, but she selected him, and he's just basking in that. And he's so excited to get to be with her and her daughter and her husband. And he, once he realized that he was safe there and everything was good, he was a happy camper. And yeah. I've had, over the years, a large number of rescue dogs where I went and got them at the shelter. And it's pretty interesting, because they immediately recognize that they've been picked, that they've been selected, that you're going to take them with you. And the joy that they feel is just amazing, you know. They don't have to do much to communicate that. And of course, especially with dogs, but cats also, they smile. They have emotions that they show. So I think for a lot of people, we're now seeing, because of the vast number of YouTube videos that people have posted of their pets, friends' pets, etc., it's great to see them, you know, just joyous and so happy. And you can feel that. And when you have that in your home, it's really nice. I happen to be without a pet right now for the first time in many, many years. And I have to say, it's a big adjustment because their energy in a home, whether you're a communicator or not, you can feel their happy energy, and they're always happy to see you when you come home if you're kind to them and loving. And it's something definitely to be said for being able to make that emotional connection. So I really encourage people to think about how the energy of your pet and, you know, extends itself to you and what they are trying to communicate with you about.
Which is a whole lot of topics.
Yeah.
Can- about their health. It can be about another pet. It can be being bored or lonely, mad. I think I've seen all of those. I was thinking about also when my daughter got her second dog, Peanut, who looked like a little fawn. These are both miniature greyhound dogs. So Olive she'd had for about a year and a half. Then she got Peanut, and Olive was depressed. I would visit and Olive would lay around with her paws over her eyes and her head down. And when she'd look up, she'd have this soulful look in her eyes, like, how could you?
Replaced.
Why are you doing this to me? Because this little dog was just crazy all over the place and nipping at her, trying to get her to play. And she was a lot older. And it was really sad. I mean, I loud and clear heard her say, get this thing out of here. And she hated that dog, but then eventually that became her baby. It was interesting. Like at some point she must have figured out, kind of like kids do, that that second child's not going anywhere. And that became, Peanut became her baby, and then it was okay. But I felt so sorry for Olive. I would start crying because she'd look at me with those eyes and you could just see it in there. She was just miserable. She's like, take me out of here. So I think everybody's seen that, you know, and you know, pets that communicate so clearly through their expressions, you know exactly what they're thinking.
I feel like people who have birds that talk, of course, they mimic a lot of the words that people around them say, their humans say, etc. But they're very expressive too. When they don't like something, there's no question that animals have a strong ability to communicate directly with us and to let us know, hey, I love you, or hey, you're making me mad.
And I think animals either they might be telepathic and psychic, because there's instances, well, I think plenty of people know who've had pets. If you're thinking you're going to take them to the vet that day and they're going to get shots, and the dog doesn't even know that, but the dog goes and hides, or your cat mm-hmm. goes and hides, like mm-hmm. they just know somehow. You haven't talked about it, but they just know. And then another thing that just blew me away, it was so beautiful, was I think it's in Rwanda, that there's elephants will show up at this gate when little rescued young or baby elephants are being brought to the sanctuary. And it's not like nobody announces it to them, but they just show up at the gate and they're waiting, like a group, a family of them are waiting for this little baby to come join them. That's amazing to me.
I absolutely have, such a long interest in elephants. And it's quite interesting to me that my daughter seems to have, I mean, we never talked about it necessarily, but she actually went on a trip, saved her money, went on a trip to Thailand and stayed a week at an elephant sanctuary, getting to be around the elephants and their little calves, their babies. And she just loved it. And I'm always posting elephant videos of the, especially of the babies on my YouTube. I mean, not YouTube, you know, Instagram, where I can just read them. I can just hear their thoughts, these little babies, and they are the cutest things. And animals in herds like that have strong communication skills amongst themselves. We don't hear, except for a tiny segment of elephants communicating out loud to themselves, because we don't hear in the range that they communicate, which is very, very low. It's a very low frequency. And normally the human ear just does not hear in that frequency, but it's fascinating to watch them amongst themselves in the herd and the family dynamic there. And again, I mean, I think it would just be so wonderful to be able to, you know, actually hear their words, in which I do sometimes, and by watch a lot of elephant videos. And if you ever want to just laugh, watching those baby elephants is just a hoot. I mean, they are rowdy, they are running around, getting into everything. You can see, unfortunately, a large number of them are orphaned, so they are coming into a different family environment. But the ones that are with their mother, it's so cute how they'll communicate. You can see them communicating amongst themselves. So I really encourage people to open their head and kind of think within themselves that they have the capability to know intuitively what animals are saying amongst themselves.
They can step outside of those, some old thought patterns where people thought animals are just dumb creatures. That's not true. You know, most of them are so intelligent, they're emotional, they communicate, and it's really doing them a huge disservice not to acknowledge that. I was reading up on ways that you can prepare yourself if you want to start picking up better on communications from your own animals, is to first calm your energy down. Gee, what a big shock that is to all of us, like to calm your energy, get yourself real balanced and calm. And then the animal will be more calm and be able to communicate with you better. It's just puts you on a better platform. That is very much like when we do readings. We try to get ourselves in a really calm, centered space. It's nice if our clients can do that too. It really helps. So it made sense to me. And then I was reading about these studies where animals do not like it if, like, groups of people are looking at them. They'll try to hide. Like, they don't like that. So if you look away from them and don't send your energy towards them, like try to calm your energy and retain it within yourself when you're around them, that helps too, just to help them open up towards you. And I thought of you, Roz, because I know you like your chickens. The study was mentioning this chickens, like a flock of chickens. If a group of people would stand and watch them, they didn't like it. They got agitated and they'd run it. They'd hide. And as soon as the people would take their attention away and put their energy on something else, they would come out and they'd wander around them, absolutely comfortable. It makes sense. I mean, who would want to have a group of people staring at them? And doesn't that make you think about zoos? No wonder sometimes you go to look at an animal and they're all hiding, you know?
Yeah.
It's awkward. Well,
and they have fear, mm-hmm. You know? I mean, they respond to our fear, or our, you know, a lot of people don't like animals. They're not comfortable around them, and animals sense that immediately. So they're responding to outside, you know, interconnection, where they are feeling what the people are feeling. And I had never really been around any chickens except when I was really little at my grandmother's. And I'm amazed how smart they are and how quickly they figure things out. I mean, how to work you, how to, you know, once they decide, oh, I could get some other food from her. I could, as soon as they figure out their angle, boy, they're ready on it.
Let's follow that Roz person around. She's a soft touch.
Yesterday I drove up, and some of you guys know that I live on a little farm. So it's not my farm, so they're not my animals. But of course, I talk to them all and relate with them all, et cetera. So we have acquired two female goats and a billy goat. And this billy goat is just a character. You can tell that he was raised around everybody, and he thinks he's a dog sometimes. So as soon as I drove up, and my car's really low, and I drove up and opened my car door, there he is trying to get in the car with me. So this morning when I was leaving, he decides to, he wanted to get in the passenger seat, take a ride. So we're getting ready to take off, and he's just making every effort to get in that car seat. I mean, he's ready to zoom off. So when you really, I'm going, nope, sorry, not working. Not, can't happen.
Out on the little farm.
Yep, see you later. Well, obviously, I have a wonderful time on the little farm.
When I'm out and about on my walks around my neighborhood, there's a lot of dog owners here. And because of my allergies and not being able to have a dog, I live vicariously through everybody else's. So I know all the dogs in the neighborhood, but occasionally there'll be a new dog will come with their owner and they'll make a beeline for me. And the owner's like, I'm so sorry. They're just insistent. And I'm like, no, I hear that dog saying she wants me to pet me. She wants to pet me. And they're right. I do want to pet them. And they just know it. And like, I'll see them pass other people and they just go straight ahead, but they'll beeline over for me. They're right. I want to pet them.
Well, you just had an adventure on your walk with the bulls.
Yes, I did. I was thinking about, should I mention that?
And they, you know, they have their personalities too. They're not all, you know, dangerous and crazy like people think they are, but definitely some of them have a little crazy wild streak there. And I think when you get in a situation where you're out and about and you're encountering these, you know, domestic cattle, but they're not like everybody pet me kind of cattle.
So, no, these were definitely not giving that vibe. That big black one.
Send it out. Give me space. Okay.
Actually, that big black one that was like really kicking up clouds of dust and coming at me threatening. Snorting. I heard him say, leave, leave, leave. It's like, I'm trying to. I have to walk right by you guys to get out of here. I encountered a herd of bulls, a bunch of bulls in mating season. Really fun.
Well, for those of you who don't live in rural areas and farm country, life can be an adventure on the hiking trail. If you're crossing the Forest Service lands that are open to range cattle.
Yes, that was my last hike on that trail until mating season is clearly over.
You're like, I'm leaving, I swear. I was making my way out.
And I was reading about that, like how people can prepare themselves for animal communications. And I was thinking back to that event, recent event with the cattle. And I thought that's exactly what I did, was I sucked my energy completely into myself because I didn't want to project any kind of a threat to those bulls. I wasn't any kind of a threat, but they seemed to think I was just because I was within 40 feet of them. But I sucked my energy in, like, so that I was not projecting any energy at all around me or too far out or toward them in any way. but I wasn't thinking about it at the time, but that's exactly what I did.
You were in their space.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's so many animals that are a little bit territorial, you know, like, hey, what are you doing over here in my space? So pretty funny. Yeah.
Territorial. I used to live next door to Roz, and one of my favorite beings on the planet is the horse that's there, and the horse comes out every day and does her thing, and we all talk to her, and she's just a blast. But we would spar a little bit, she and I. She would come and she would go and stand behind my car and say, "You're not going to work," and until we had a, you know, conversation, and she would sass me and tell me what to do and snip at me a little bit, and I would bonk her on the nose, and it was so delightful because she wanted her time, like she wanted her time, and it was her way or no way. And we were like little kids sometimes. It was the best I've ever had, and I've learned so much from her. And so I miss living. I don't live next door anymore, but I'll have to come visit soon and hang out with Cinnamon and have just a little bit of a fun, sassy conversation with her, because it's just a blast. Before she blocks me in and won't let me out and says, no, you're not going anywhere yet.
they're pretty I don't know, they all have their own personalities, and they're pretty outspoken. I mean, as people think, you know, so a horse is a herd animal, and they're comfortable in a herd, a family environment. That's where they like to be. So you do become part of that family, and they're very social, you know, they want to express themselves and let you know. And of course, she's very old too. And so she follows everybody around and, you know, wants to be petted. So she's nudging you and, you know, trying to get your attention. The ultimate goal of that, I think, in her case is, I mean, because she's so old and she just likes to nibble all day. So if you wanted to give her a little treat or something, it wouldn't be heartbreaking. she's always anticipating that.
I feel the same way myself sometimes. If you want to give me a little treat, it wouldn't be heartbreaking. I'd be okay with that. You know, especially 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, it's really funny because I wanted all my life, I really wanted to own a horse. I exercised people's horses. I spent time around horses, et cetera, et cetera. But the deal is, you know, since they want to be paid attention to, and they're pretty demanding at times, you know, when you're in an environment where you're just trying to exit and go to work or return, that time they demand can become lengthy. Melissa, you had still have a relationship with her. That's what, you know, that's
for each other. But it is a little bit, the fun part to me is that it's a little bit like we're little children, like we'll just poke at each other. I'm not kidding. I learned from her. She shows me a different perspective. And she's very stubborn. I don't know if I can admit that I am very stubborn, but I adore that horse. And he is my friend, and we just sass each other. It's a delight, really, for me. Really a delight.
Melissa, are you saying you're too stubborn to admit you're stubborn?
Yeah.
Doesn't take an animal long to figure that out either.
So basically that horse is mirroring to you, Melissa.
Absolutely. I've had long conversations with her. Like, she and I are the only beings around, and we've had long conversations, and she teaches me things. And there's a family in particular, that I would go 2-3 times a year to do talk to their horses. And they have many, many beings there, like many dogs and cats and sometimes skunks and groundhogs and, you know, just a pig, goats. And I love talking. I love going there. Like, I don't care if I ever get paid. I want to go just commune with the horse babies and the animals. And one time I was just shocked. I was outside. We were outside, of course. And after we just had discussions with all the horses, there's usually about 5 to 8 that live there at all times. So we would go out and talk to each one and see how everyone is. And we were outside and I see this owl come sit. And this, I will never understand this one. And she's just on the porch and getting closer to the cat, which that doesn't make sense because they don't seem to be like that. They would be best friends. But at this house, they were. And that owl, gosh, I forget his name, just lived with the people. And I was so honored. I'd never seen that before. Talked to me for as long as I wanted and told me things and talked about like the bigger picture of things too. And so to be able to be in spaces like that have farms and different kinds of beings, why do we even go to work? Why do we even go to the grocery store? Let's just go be with the animals. But that the owl was, I never experienced anything like that. It's what do you call it? Where like domesticated kind of feeling. And that was also an honor. And he would sit by this little cat. They were best friends. Just sit. And I asked about it. Like, how did you not know that maybe you're supposed to be enemies? Nah, they're okay. We're okay. You know, that was the answer. And I just delighted.
That's cute. What are some of the things that for you ladies that people will come to you for needing help with their pets?
I'd say a sick pet, definitely. You know, their pets having issues. They know, you know, when your pet isn't feeling good intuitively, you have a feeling, but you're not sure. Like with your children sometimes when they're really little and they can't express themselves about how they feel. Your pet is the same way. And so they get a feeling that their pet's not feeling well. They're not sure exactly what it is. And so I've seen a couple of pets. I don't do as much animal communication as you guys, but I think it's really interesting that the owner has like this sense of something going on. And when I communicate with the pet, they're like, yeah, you know, I'm not feeling good. And I feel it in my body. So just like with a human, as I do healing, I feel a lot in my body where they're having an issue and I have the ability to talk and hear them too. So I think that that's nice that, you know, a lot of times they can't communicate how they're feeling with their owner. And, you know, a vet costs a lot of money. So it's like, you know, we go and we look for other alternatives to help. And afterwards, they feel a lot better. You know, even just bringing in energy healing in any type of situation, like with some animals, they're very anxious. Like Ross said, my baby, he's very sensitive, highly sensitive. So in the beginning, when I brought him home, he would be very fearful. You know, he would tear things up a little bit and try and, you know, make his way and try and figure things out. And as he's been with us, like she said, he's become more comfortable. But in the beginning, I would do energy healing on distant clients, not directing it towards him, but he would be zonked out on the couch. You would have to see him. It's like as if he had like doggy catnip or something. He would be sleeping on the couch, like zonked out in another world. But I think he adjusted to that, and he likes that aspect of being with me for that reason.
Interesting.
I would encourage people, if you know, if you have any interest in learning pet communication, the most important thing is you and your desire to do that and your openness to receiving information from them and receiving information. I mean, there's definitely a wealth of information out there on the internet. There are a number of pretty famous pet communicators, animal communicators, and it's very, very much a skill and an ability that I think a lot of people have, and it's not difficult to develop it. And the one thing I think is important is to realize that they do talk, they do communicate, and amongst themselves, but also directly with us. So if you're open to that and you're comfortable with that idea, you're not stuck in thinking, oh, well, you know, this is an animal, they're not capable of that. You know, check it out, because it's very satisfying to be able to help a creature that cannot talk in the same language to you.
So vulnerable. It's like babies, like Terri Ann was saying, babies who aren't feeling well and all they can do is cry and they can't tell you what's going wrong and you feel so helpless as a mother. Well, pet owners, you know, those are your babies too. And you can feel so helpless when you can see that your pet's suffering. It might be a mood issue, like suddenly your pet is not its happy, peppy self. It's isolating, laying around a lot. You can tell it's just not feeling happy, but you have no idea why. So it's good. I mean, you can come to one of us and we can help you with that. And there's people who identify themselves as pet animal communicators. That's all they do. So, you know, sometimes I actually refer people to them when it's something that's deeper than what I can get. Once in a while that happens, but the point being that it gives you this insight into a being that can't speak to you in normal ways so that you can help them. There is something you can do. And I do think that if you love your pet and they're important to you, that you can develop this to a degree. You may not become professional at it, but that's not what it's about. It's about being able to figure out what's going on with your own pets, your own animals.
Another thing that we haven't really talked about, but I would bring up just sort of in brief is I've done a fair amount of work where I've been able to assist people with lost pets, and sending out that energy and that communication to reach through to an animal who has gotten separated from its home and its people is something that is very satisfying. But it's also something that if you're open to that, if you're able to open your mind and spirit to that, that animal very frequently, whether it's still alive or not, will extend the communication back to you. And I mentioned, you know, still alive or not, because sometimes these are what are considered kind of cold case things. They're, you know, the animal has been gone for a while and the owner, of course, is still searching and still looking. So it's good to realize that, you know, you might shock yourself just seeking out the feeling of where they are, what they're doing, what's going on. So we have a lot more abilities than we always think we have.
It's another way to draw closer to the animals in your life, or animals in general. And I think you can practice that. Just go out in nature somewhere where anywhere. It could be in nature. It could be like here in Arizona, we have a deer park and this Bearzona and places like that. They're probably not open during COVID, but outside of that, places where you can encounter animals and look into their eyes, open your energy, free yourself of any preconceived notions about what an animal can feel and think, and look into their eyes and see what you get. I think it's through practice like that, that you develop that kind of a skill.
True.
And over time you start to get more, at first you might get little hints that you try to say, oh, that's probably just my imagination. But as you do it more and more, it's sort of like learning to be a psychic reader or a psychic in general is, as you do it over time, you get more consistent messages. You feel more sure. They're more defined messages, and you don't doubt yourself so much till eventually you really don't doubt yourself. It's good to work past that. Any other thoughts on things that have come through in readings, whether it's mediumship or psychic readings that involve pets?
I feel like the people who already are seeking an answer for their pet, for whatever situation is going on, contacting an animal communicator is sometimes a last resort for them, but it's a very powerful opening to receive information that a vet can't necessarily give you. I mean, most vets do testing and they're trying to determine what's going on also with the pet, whereas sometimes we intuitively the pet will tell us, or we intuitively will feel into the energy of that animal and be able to offer a suggestion, direction for the vet to look. So I think being a loving parent of your fur baby, it's a very good alternative in a lot of situations.
And that reminds me too, Roz, what you're saying there, like sometimes people want to know that maybe they're low on funds and they will take their animal to the vet if it needs it, but they want to know, does my animal need to go to the vet? Is this something serious? And I think that's something that we can definitely tune into and tell you, and anybody who has that ability can tune in and tell you, you know, generally what's going on, where in the body, like Terry Ann was saying, like, I always feel it. I was telling somebody yesterday, I was doing a reading and they had questions about their pet. And I was feeling like both the joints at the base of their front legs. And it was like, it got cold there, which is really unusual feeling, but anyway, so they could go into the vet and say, okay, you know, or say whether this is serious or not. Yes, they need to go to the vet. I think that this can be taken care of, you know, in a natural way, or they just need some rest. So it can put your mind at ease, you know, and you can develop this for yourself and save yourself some money to learn how to tune into your animal even better than you do. Probably just loving it as much as you do, you already have a pretty darn good bond. Let's face it. That's really the core of it.
It's true.
I've had a lot of calls over the years for missing animals and all that kind of stuff too. And one of my favorite perspectives that I take, at least, is you're all they have. You are their family. They're locked in houses. They're locked in gates. We get to go out and meet people and do things. But it's like expect, it's almost like, I think they're waiting for us to wake up that they always talk to us, and they want us to know. And again, the different personalities, they might just say one or two things or might converse a little bit longer, but we are all they have. And they would be glad to tell, like, I don't know why my tummy hurts, or that thing about the, I like to chew up your shoe and pee on your clothes because I don't like your boyfriend, which happened at my house before, and stuff like that, they'll tell you. And it's just, it's, even if you feel like you're making it up, try it out. Maybe like jot it down what they said, and look back a little bit and go, oh, you were telling mom the truth. I understand now. And that communication bridge can be stronger and stronger over time, because I just think they're waiting for us to catch on that they are chatting with us.
I love that. And I think that's so true. They're like, why can't you understand? I'm telling you very forcefully, peeing on your clothes. Oh my God. I had a dog. My daughter had a dog, despite my allergies, when I was single, newly single. And every time I had a date, they would show up at the door to pick me up, and that dog would pee on their shoes. And it was so embarrassing because sometimes they had like really expensive leather shoes on, and I was just mortified. And that dog was just really jealous, you know, really jealous of any man, because it was just me and my daughter and this male dog, Hollywood. He was just stating his claim there, like, oh, no, you don't. This is my house. But I'm sure everyone listening to this show has got their own stories, and we're probably jogging your mind for all kinds of things you've experienced yourself. Again, if you think of any questions you want to ask, usually what happens is by the time the show's over, people have all kinds of questions. So in the show notes, you're going to see an email address. If you're watching this on YouTube, actually, even if you're watching it, listening to it on a podcast platform, you can email us your questions at any time. We'll be happy to address them. And if you don't see that, just look up our website. And tune in next week. Our topic is indigo, crystal, and rainbow children. That's going to be fun. You're going to find out what that is, whether you're one, whether your children might be that. So I think it's going to be really fun. One of Roz and I's favorite topic, and probably you ladies too. So in the meantime, we hope you have an enlightening week.
Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.